The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. Now, today I want to do kind of a remash of a few things and cover some new things that are coming out. Apparently, the art of using a weapon is becoming more popular again. It was kind of frowned on there for a while, and I know a lot of schools and parents and people were thinking anybody who had anything to do with guns was bad. But it's starting to make a little renaissance, a little recovery here. They're showing in schools one of the fastest growing high school sports is skeet shooting, trap shooting, basically learning how to sport shoot with a shotgun. Another thing that's fast growing is student air rifle leagues, and they host competitions for elementary, middle, and high school teams. These sporting events, shooting sports, are making a comeback. And that's really good to see because, and honestly, a gun is just a tool. And learning how to use tools is always a helpful skill to have, no matter what kind of tool it is, whether it's a circular saw, a hammer, or a rifle. And, of course, starting with an air rifle, of course, cuts down on the sound, the possibility for a deadly accident, things like that. But learning the skill is important, because if you get that skill down, then, of course, you're not going to be afraid of guns in the future. You'll understand the safety features. You'll understand the safety requirements of dealing with guns, and you'll teach these to your kids, you know, or people in your family. So this is kind of nice. I like seeing this. Now, this is back from December, but still, this has been going on this year, and these schools are getting more and more shooting programs going, which is great. I mean, that just it enables these people to carry this stuff on, because it also turns some of these teens and whatnot into Second Amendment advocates, because they enjoy their shooting classes, and then you tell them, well, if you vote this way, somebody's going to take those away. That will help them vote to defend their Second Amendment rights, which is great. We need as many as we can get, because there's so many nut jobs out there thinking that the Second Amendment shouldn't exist, or if it does exist, it needs to be toned down. It shouldn't be available in any way to people out there. It's funny, because I've been listening to the radio. I was listening to a song, and the word Glock appears in the original song, and they cut that word out of the song for playing on certain radio stations. And I thought, it's not a bad word. It's not a cuss word by any means. It's not considered, you know, it's not illegal in any way. Like if they cut the name of drugs or, you know, or sexual references out of a song, they cut the word Glock out of the song because I guess they feel like, oh, because it refers to a gun, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, and it's funny because the Second Amendment has been in our Constitution from the very beginning. So it's not like it's something new that these people have come on to. People have been learning to shoot for generations in this country, and it's a time-honored tradition in schools. I remember going to school and having guys carry guns in the back of their, you know, in the back of their pickup trucks on the window racks and whatnot, and nobody thought twice about it. And we never had a mass shooting at school. But this is a good way to get kids initiated into it, starting with an air rifle, and as they move into higher grades, get them started into trap shooting or skeet shooting, any kind of sport shooting with a shotgun. And that's the fastest growing sport in high schools right now, which is great. Now, granted, not every school is going to be able to have this because it does require, let's say, a certain amount of space to do this. You're not going to do this in a gymnasium, you know, in a school in the middle of a city. You're going to have schools that can have areas where students can go shoot. Now, a lot of times if there's an area nearby several schools, they can take turns going there, and hopefully they get funded or the parents are involved enough to sponsor their children in doing this. And I think there's nothing better than teaching kids at a fairly young age how to use a firearm safely, how to use it properly, how to become proficient with it. And hopefully it'll instill a lifetime of wanting to be involved in shooting sports, which is great. I mean, the USA High School Clay Target League grew from six teams and 60 athletes to 49,000 students across 1,647 teams. And that was from 2009 to 2025. So it took a while, but it is a growing sport, which is phenomenal to me. That just goes to show you that if the right things are promoted, people will learn and how to use these weapons. And I would be willing to bet that people threatened with guns, possibility of mass shootings in these schools is probably considerably lower than schools that don't have these programs going on. And it's also showing that 40% of the students who participate on the trap teams are not involved in any other school sports. So basically, if they're not interested in playing something with a ball or a puck, this is a way to get into school sports and have something that you're interested in and be involved in team sports from an early age. Because there's been correlations showing that participating in team sports helps people socialize and get and become better people in the future. So it's just people are getting involved in all kinds of sports, but traditional sports aren't for everybody. So here you go. Get involved in local trap shooting at your high school or your middle school or your elementary school. And also, you know, like I say, a lot of them have the air rifle clubs also to start off, mostly in the younger schools. But I guess it's just a matter of how are you going to promote this? It's going to take money because, you know, sport shooting shotguns is not an inexpensive sport. It does take money. So if you have an opportunity to help support a trap or skeet team in your neighborhood and you're a Second Amendment supporter, I suggest you do this. Get these kids the education and the support to become Second Amendment advocates in the future. Because they will be the ones who will have to carry the torch. When they get out of school, they're going to be asked to vote. And if it comes down to voting against their favorite sport, they're much less likely to do it. So that'll be fun to see. I'd like to see how this progresses. And also, like with any school sports, you have people who have some experience. They go in and they teach the guys who are less experienced, helps them be a mentor for younger kids or less experienced students, things like that. Basically, it's an all-round good team sport that helps build this kind of camaraderie, kind of a team mentality, things like that. So that's great. And it doesn't matter what kind of sport it is, but the fact that it's a gun sport, to me, makes a bigger difference because it is a guaranteed right, and hopefully some of these kids will get to the point where they realize that this is part of what they're doing, that there are people who would like to take this away from them, and they need to, when they become of voting age, that they learn this is something they have to defend if they want to keep doing it. So, and I'm sure the NRA is probably helping raise money for things like this as well. So if you're interested in starting this in your school, I don't even know who to tell you to contact, but definitely look into it because apparently it is a growing sport. It's growing. It grew huge to over 49,000 participants in just under 15 years. So it's a sport. It's growing. And right now, gun prices are as cheap as they've been in a long time. Now, of course, finding a place to shoot might be difficult, but there are more and more ranges coming onto the scenes because shooting sports are becoming more popular all the way around. Three-gun, pistol competitions, even shotgun competitions are becoming more popular, and more people are looking for places to do it. So if you have a place nearby and they can help with this to get a school program started, they'd be silly not to help out because this is investing in their future as a business. You want to get young people involved in this so they carry on a tradition. So you don't have people who are just, once they retire from the sport, they're done. There's nobody to replace them with. This gets replacements in the pipeline for shooting sports throughout, across all levels. Now, granted, kids in high school are not learning how to use handguns most of the time. If they are, they're going to be strictly air guns, I would imagine. But most of it is rifle, and apparently with the skeet shooting and trap shooting and shotgun. Those are the two biggest things that they're learning right now. I, in fact, when I was in college, took a PE course that was called rifle, and we went into the basement of the ROTC building and shot, I believe they were Winchester 52s, the high-end 22 bolt action single shot rifles, and we shot once a week. We'd be there for a couple hours, we'd do some shooting, and eventually, you know, they had competitions in the class for the last few weeks. And I'd love to say I took first place, but I did not. There was a girl in the class who was a better shot than me, and she beat me by a matter of a couple of points. In fact, it was funny because both of us had scored enough points to qualify to where we didn't even have to shoot the final session in order to pass the class, you know, with an A. But we both showed up, we both shot, and I got beaten by a couple points. So not embarrassed to admit that she was a better shot than me. But it was still fun. We had a good time. It was competition. It was, you know, getting to know people and talking about shooting sports and things like that. It's the kind of thing you want to have if you want to maintain shooting sports in America, if you want to maintain having gun rights. Because the more people that see guns are not evil and awful and causing all kinds of problems, the more people you're going to have voting for people who believe the same way. And maybe, just maybe, it'll twist politicians a little bit into looking at this in a little different light. And there's high schools out there competing all over a state in trap shooting or skeet shooting, and all of a sudden these politicians see this, they're going to go, you know what, in order to get that vote, I'm going to have to be pro-Second Amendment. I'm going to have to be pro-shooting sports. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it starts. Get them started young. Teach them properly so they don't have, you know, these urges to go out and use a gun in an illegal manner. Teach them how to use it properly. Teach them how to use it effectively. Make them proud of their skill set. Let their skill set be something they can take with them when they leave school. All right. Just consider that if you're in an area where you think you might be able to start a shooting program at a school, not a bad thing to do. Now, certain places, you'll probably never get that done. I would imagine, I don't know for a fact, but I imagine in New York, Illinois, maybe parts of California, not all of California, maybe in the Los Angeles part, you may have some trouble trying to start up a shooting sports in schools. But, you know, but if you have a place where you think it would be a good addition to your school, start doing the research, find out, because this is investing in our future generations. All right, one more thing I want to cover real quick. There's a gentleman named Clint Macro, and he does a seminar on something that I've been talking about for years. When I say you have to be your own family's first responder, that's always been the case. You know, when seconds count, cops are minutes away. And you can't have that. If you have someone breaking into your house, you don't have minutes to wait. You have seconds. And if you've got the training, you've got a weapon, you've got a plan, go ahead, execute. Now's the time. You know, plan on things like that because, you know, when you need the help, you're the only one your family's going to be able to count on day in and day out to be there on time, especially with less and less police officers being sworn in all over the country. It's going to be harder and harder to get police to respond when there is an incident. So you have to be your own first responder. And I don't just mean with a gun. That would be the first thing for home defense, is to be able to have a gun, know how to use it, teach other people in your family, if they are willing or able, teach them how to use a weapon as well, and have a plan. Don't end up shooting each other by accident because you didn't have a plan. Have a plan, work it out. Get a weapon, learn how to defend yourself, make plans. Also, however, one thing that I like to harp on that a lot of people don't deliver on is being able to handle other instances. Like if you're in a natural disaster, do you have first aid handy? Do you have enough food to get by for 2 or 3 days? Do your pets have enough food to get by for 2 or 3 days? You know, do you have any medication for a week in case you need it and couldn't get it? Anything that would cause you to be cut off from possible supply chain, can you survive for a few days to a week? Do you have that stuff there? And it doesn't take that much. Even for a family of four, you don't need that much stuff stored for that long. And that's assuming that you're going to have certain things still available. If you have water available, any freeze-dried food can last you a long time and not take up a lot of space. 1 5-gallon bucket can handle a family of four for probably a week easily, as long as you have water to cook the food in. So that's something to consider. And first aid, if something was to happen, a natural disaster or some sort of, I guess you could say, uprising or unnatural disaster were to happen, do you have basic first aid to cover your family, your pets, things like that? Can you handle that? Do you have what it takes? There's nothing wrong with, and start off basic. Just buy a really good, thorough first aid kit and start there. And then you can add on to it. What I do is get they have the nylon mole packs, which are like medical sized packs, and you can put them with all the extra things that you don't need that don't come in a basic $10, $20, $50 first aid kit. But start with as much of a first aid kit as you can afford with as extensive a selection as you can get. And if you have to, add things to it. Add extra ibuprofen, add extra regular bandages, add extra pain relievers, add extra, you know, ointment for insect bites, antiseptic ointment, things like that. Add those things to it. Those things can be had at any Walmart, Kmart, any kind of discount store, Target will have those. And you can supply those in, put those into your first aid kit and have it available. And make sure it's accessible. Pretty basic stuff here. And when it comes to having a weapon, that's a whole nother thing that I would get into on another day of what I think you need. Besides extra magazines, a holster, a storage case, something waterproof preferably in case you have to hike out or you have to leave your home behind and it's the weather's not the best. You want to be able to protect that weapon. Keep it like that. But these are the kind of things you need to know. Also, be aware of what's going on. If you hear things going on in the neighborhood, you're sleeping, and you hear people yelling outside in the street, get up and take a look. Yeah, it may be none of your business, but you know what? If it escalates beyond a point where it's going to involve you, you want to have a little bit of a forewarning of that happening. Now, if you have people outside your window every night screaming and yelling, that may be a little more difficult to determine what's going to be, you know, a worst case scenario versus just every night. So be aware of that. And also get the training. Learn how to use your weapon. And if you can take a first aid class, that would be ideal. Learn how to do basic first aid. Even if it's not just for you, maybe your neighbors need some help with that too. You know, if you're friendly with your neighbors and you have a tight community, be the one they can turn to for something like this. Or find someone in the neighborhood who has these skills already and make sure you have contact with them to be able to take advantage of that if you need it. You know, everybody in the neighborhood should have a certain skill set, and it's hard to organize because a lot of people don't want to let their neighbors know if they have a gun or not, depending on where they're located. If it's considered a popular opinion or not, that makes a difference. But first aid stuff, everybody should have that. And the better kit you can afford, the better protection you're going to have. And then as you get into it, you can buy pieces here and there to add on and go beyond basic first aid. You know, you can have a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation adapter so you don't have to put your mouth directly on somebody else's and you can still give them mouth to mouth. If you want to go crazy, you can get a defibrillator if you know how to use it. Don't just buy it, stick it in the drawer and figure it out when the time comes. That's something you need some training on. Now, most of them can be set up to where they're pretty self-explanatory and they don't need a lot of outside, you know, input, I guess, to work properly. But that's kind of going to the very edge of the first aid stuff. But have basic first aid available. Put extras of anything that you know might be more desirable in some sort of disaster situation. Make sure you know you've got enough antibiotic ointments, you've got enough gauze, you've got ace bandages for wrapping stuff up. Because those are the most common things. They're going to be bug bites, cuts, scrapes, you know, possibly sprained ankles, sprained wrist. Have wraps for that kind of stuff ready to go. You know, and it wouldn't hurt to have a decent first aid kit even in your car also. Of course, you don't want to get one that's so big it takes up so much space. And keep in mind also, some of the things you put in these first aid kits can be perishable, especially in extreme heat or extreme cold. Usually extreme heat will damage, you know, salves and ointments and things like that if things get too hot for too long. So be ready to circulate stuff in and out of those kits. But this guy, he does a seminar and he tries to tell you, you know, what's important, what's not important, think how to conduct yourself. Also, when I say have a plan, I mean, when you walk through your house or you hear something in your house, you hear something coming in through your front door. Be prepared to have a plan. Know who is in the house on a normal night. Know where you have to be to secure those other people if necessary. Make sure your second in charge, whether it's a wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, whatever, make sure they know what their role is if something were to happen. You know, if something gets started, if something is initiated, know where to go, know how to keep everybody safe, and know how to defend your house to the best of your ability. So that way, ideally, if you defend your house to the best of your ability, you won't need the first aid kit quite as much, which is a lot better. So certainly get out there, CYA, cover your butt on that stuff, and know what you can do and what you can't do. And if you need more training, get it. It's always better to get training before you need it. Of course, most people know that. You know, you don't want to wait till the horses are all out of the barn before you start fixing the barn door. So if you're looking to do something like this, there are plenty of classes that can teach you. So get that stimulus check, get that tax refund. Now's the time to get into it. I'm going to talk real quick about your gun, your defensive posture, what you're going to need in the way of ammo, what you're going to need in the way of magazines, a holster, a case. Buying the gun is step one. Then, of course, there's training. But then, of course, what equipment do you need? I would recommend if you're using a handgun or even a rifle as a primary defensive weapon, you need no less than 6 magazines for that weapon. Granted, you have 1 in the gun, 2 that you can carry with you if you needed to, and you should have at least 3 extras on top of that. I don't know, and if any of you have ever played video games, you know how fast you can go through ammo in a situation when things get bad. So be aware and do your best to practice a reload. When you practice a reload, don't look down. Don't hold it down, look down. Everything that's going to happen is going to be in front of you. Keep your eyes as high as you can. Bring the gun up to that level. If you want to do a mag change, hold it up in front of your face so you can look past it and see if anything's happening. If you look down to do your reloads or change your magazine, you're missing out on everything that's happening in front of you. You won't see things coming. You won't see what's happening. You won't be prepared. That's something I see so often when I'm teaching people. They want to hold it down and they want to look down when they change their magazine. Or they do something with the gun. Instead of holding it up in front of you, keeping your peripheral vision out there, make sure you can see what's on the quote-unquote battlefield or in if there's any antagonistic activities going on. You want to be able to keep an eye on them. You don't want to look down, lose sight of what's happening, and then look up and figure somebody just got 30 paces closer to you and you don't have time to defend yourself. Keep an eye on things, always be aware, and break your concentration from time to time and look to the sides. Rotate your head left and right. See if anything's coming from the sides. Stay focused on not being hyper-focused. I know that sounds weird, but if you're involved in something where you actually have to discharge your firearm, you're going to be focused on your target so hard, you're going to lose sight of everything outside of that little tunnel, and you need to step back or pull back and break that focus. Turn to the left, turn to the right, expand your look. Make sure you're seeing everything. And when anything's being changed, magazines, you're putting a gun in a holster, you can glance at the holster to put it in, but don't keep staring at it while you're doing it. Put it in, secure it, and put your eyes back on the field. Put them straight up. If you have to perform a mag change or some sort of clearing exercise, practice doing that in front of your face. Don't do it down below where you have to look down and avoid seeing what's behind it. Keep that peripheral vision going. Also, you're going to need a good holster. A good holster is essential if you're going to carry your weapon, even if it's just through your house. You want to have a holster that can secure the gun in case you have to help secure another person, in case you have to open a door, if you have to get downstairs. You want to be able to secure that weapon where you won't have to hold it in your hand while you're trying to perform some other task. So that's something to consider too. A good holster, at least 6 magazines, and of course ammo to fill them all. If they're not already filled, if you don't store them full, that's probably something you should do. If you only have the 6 magazines, you may want to run 4 of them and rotate 2 in and out of out of use in storage to keep the springs fresh in them. Now, most springs in most magazines will last for years without too many problems. If you have to unload them, let them sit, change them out for two others, and then rotate through your stock to keep them fresh like that, not a bad idea either. And of course, when it comes to your ammo, a lot of people will practice with ball ammo all day long. They'll never shoot any hollow points or any defensive ammo. And then the first time they shoot it is when they're in a situation where it's defensive life and death. And who knows? If it's not the same weight bullet, if it's not the same pressure bullet, it may have a completely different impact point. Not likely, but it can happen. Be aware of that. So you want to make sure whatever you practice with is what you keep in your weapon. And ideally, practice with some of the, if your ammo is different than your practice ammo, your carry ammo, practice with some of that. I'm not saying every time, but shoot it and see how close it is. If it's close to what your practice ammo is, then you're fine. You're going to be hitting the target regardless, as long as it's close enough. Now, if you use some defensive ammo and it comes off several inches from where your regular practice ammo is, be aware. I would suggest the best thing is to change the practice ammo to something a little closer in line to the weight or the power of what your carry ammo is going to be. So when you use that practice ammo, it's going to be comparable enough to where it won't throw off your aiming, your targeting, and your shot placement will be on whether you're shooting practice ammo or whether you're shooting your defensive ammo. Now, I've seen it off by several inches before on things like this, but not always. Usually, if it's a comparable weight in a pistol, you're going to get very comparable, you know, targeting on something like that. But still something to be aware of, something to try before it comes to the point of no return. Before you're in a situation where you're looking to discharge rounds downrange, make sure you've practiced with both. And if you need to, have extra ammo so you can fill your magazines, or your second in charge or people in your family can help you refill if it comes to that. Hopefully you won't have to go through six magazines with a pistol to defend your house or your family. Hopefully that's something that can be easily done quicker than that. So be aware of that too. But you are your family's first responder. You have to be responsible for them, because in this day and age, you can't rely on the police. You may not be able to rely on paramedics to get to you in time, especially if there's a situation where there's disruption of services, where there's, inconsistency in the street. If there's violence going on and the first responders can't get to you or can't respond to you, if the police are not responding to anybody but the absolutely most dangerous crime areas, you're on your own. You have to cover yourself. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you've been listening to America's Web Radio.
Attention veterans, America's Web Radio has a contest just for you. We are giving away an AR-15 style weapon to a lucky veteran. If you are a veteran or active duty, you can enter for a chance to win by submitting an entry form at americaswebradio.com/giveaway. That's americaswebradio.com/giveaway. Please read the official rules for more information. Good luck, and thank you for listening.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/americaswebradio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@americaswebradio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We are back. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. Right before we left for the break, we were talking about being your own first responder. And that goes from more than just guns to also first aid, preparation for food, possibly water, pet food, medication. All those things have to be considered. So just if you decide to look into this, start off small, work your way up, and add stuff as you go. There's nothing wrong with, you know, starting off with a basic understanding or basic preparation and working your way into it. And of course, you don't want to go overboard and prepare for months and months of famine or anything like that. That's not likely to happen in this country anytime soon. Of course, you never know, but still, go for the most likely scenario. So, all right. And let me get into this real quick. As we were talking about, you know, people are buying guns because they feel like the police aren't able to protect them as well as they used to. So people are looking, going, you know, when I call and the police response time is five times as long as it used to be, maybe it's time for me to start looking into getting my own. And that has been driving gun sales all of last year and into the first part of this year. We're going 51 months in a row. That's 4 years, over 4 years straight with more than a million estimated sales a month. So that gives you some idea how many guns are being sold out there. Now, not every single gun sold goes to a new gun owner. A lot of these are people who already have guns who are just adding to collections or filling in gaps in their collections. So that's something to consider too. Not everybody who buys one is a brand new gun owner, although they're saying new gun owners are up 8.3% from the last year to this past year of 2023. So consider that also. I mean, that's closing in on 10% more new gun owners every year. And that's something to consider also. Now, if you are a new gun owner, I suggest you reach out to anybody you know who has some skill in the area or someone that you respect who you know has prowess in using a weapon. Get some help. Get some basic assistance to start. Hopefully, they can refer you to a more formal training system if they don't have the ability to train you on their own. Some people have, you know, I know a lot of gun owners who have been in it for a long time are NRA members. They've taken NRA training classes. They've taken other training classes, and they can help pass on some of that information to you. If not, most local ranges will have training available. So you can probably go on Google, look up the local ranges close to you, check the reviews, see what people say, see if there's any reviews on the training they offer and see where they go and ask people who you know who may have been there. If you have friends who are shooting enthusiasts and they go to that range, ask them what they know about the training. Sometimes they may never train there. They may train somewhere else, but shoot at that range because it's closest. So do a little research, find out, and learn how to use that new weapon, because a million sales over the last 51 months. I mean, that's over 51 million transfers done. Now, how does that add to the number of guns in this country? Oh, it's probably adding tremendously. Because not only is every background check is not necessarily a gun sale. Some get refused for some reason, but every check can be for more than one gun as well. They say if you're a dad buying a gun for your two sons, one background check is all you need to buy both those guns. So keep that in mind. Or a lot of states, if you have a carry permit where you've already got the FBI and the state check, you don't have to undergo that check again. So you can purchase a weapon without having to undergo the check again because you've already got the check verified by having your pistol permit or your carry permit. Now, that's something a lot of states are going to not needing a carry permit anymore. And it's true, you don't need it, but most of them are rather affordable. And it just shows that you're taking a little bit of extra responsibility. It saves you if you're buying weapons from having to undergo a background check. Also, if you tend to carry into other states, you want to have that permit because that's the only way to show that you are licensed to carry a permit anywhere. And a lot of states require licensing, even though some states don't require it. Other states might, and you only receive that reciprocity from that state if you have a permit from your original state. So it doesn't hurt to have it. It's also, you know, it's good to show you're being extra responsible. That way, if something happens and a law enforcement officer wants to see your ID and you have your ID and your gun permit, it makes a difference, especially if you're carrying a gun in your car or on your person. You want to have that permit just to show, yes, I've undergone the background check. I'm not a criminal. But granted, even though it's not necessary, I prefer to have it just in case. So something to consider also. All right, so 51 million guns sold in the last 51 months. That's outstanding. Now, if you're out there and you're an experienced shooter, I want you to see if any of your friends are looking to buy guns. I can't tell you how many times I get that call. I'm looking to buy a gun. I don't know where to look. I don't know how do I start? And I'll usually make an arrangement to take those people to a local gun show, a gun shop. We'll look around, get some hands on some things. If they're looking to shoot right then, go to a range that has a rental counter. Pay the $10, $15, open up the rental counter. You can probably shoot any gun you want in that rental counter within reason, as long as you buy ammo from that range. That's the way most of them tend to operate that I've seen. You buy range ammo, they'll let you shoot their guns if you pay the rental fee. And if you have experience with a lot of the guns there, you can help them out. Or if you don't, it gives you an opportunity while training to shoot some of the guns that maybe you had an idea you'd like to get a shot to try once in a while, you know, that you were thinking about, oh, I'd like to shoot one of those. Take advantage of that. Pay the fee. Go in there and shoot. And teach the person who's interested in learning. Start off with the most basic safety. Don't point your gun at anything you don't intend to shoot. Keep your finger off the trigger until you were on target. Be sure of your backstop and what's behind it. You know, basic rules of gun safety. Keep that in mind and make sure you drill that into whoever you take to shoot. Make sure they understand. The hardest thing for most new shooters is to keep that finger off the trigger until they're ready to shoot. Because if you're new at this, your finger tends to naturally go across that trigger when you grip the gun, because you know that's where it's going to be eventually. But just try and learn not to do that. Keep a straight finger out to the side of the weapon. And if you're teaching somebody, make sure you teach them that. That's probably the one thing I like to have people learn more than anything else. Finger off the trigger till you're ready to shoot. And the second thing is more of a warning. If you bring somebody out there and they've never shot before, make sure you warn them about the potential of the hot shell dance. That's right. When a hot shell lands somewhere on you, make sure you warn them ahead of time. If a shell hits you anywhere and you feel the need to dance, put the gun down first. You know, drop it on the, put it on the range counter, then dance all you want, pull everything off, whatever you have to do, but put the gun down first. Don't dance around with a loaded gun. That's probably one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen when I was a range safety officer. Somebody was waving their hands around with their loaded gun in their hand trying to get a shell out of their shirt. And it was just an accident waiting to happen. So I went over there, got control of the gun, put it on the canvas, and told the guy, dance all you want, put the gun down first. He goes, well, I just panicked. I go, that's why I'm telling you. Next time. And it's probably going to happen again. I mean, if you've ever shot a gun in an indoor range, chances are you're going to have a hot shell land somewhere on you. So just prepare the people for that. And chances are, if you tell them that a couple times, they're going to remember it when the time comes. If they have no forewarning, though, they may start jumping around. They may have accidental discharges in the wrong direction. You don't want that. You want people to have all discharges downrange. You want to have them be safe to themselves and everybody else there. You don't want to have accidents in a gun range or with a gun at all. And what I prefer to do is take somebody out before they get to the range. Let them familiarize themselves with the weapon without live ammo, but just if it's a semi-automatic, learn how to rack the slide back, learn how to pull the magazine out, learn how to put it in, learn where the slide release is, or learn how to release it by pulling the slide back and getting off the edge of the magazine. Learn how to do that stuff outside the range. Because once you're in the range, you've got your earmuffs on, you've got guns going off, you've got somebody trying to talk to you through the earmuffs with the guns going off. It's very distracting. Take 30 or 40 minutes. teach that person how to use their gun or your gun or whatever gun you're going to use. Teach them to some extent the basics of using whatever weapon you're going to use. If you're going to use a revolver, show them how to swing the cylinder out. Show them how to dump the empty shells out. Show them how to put the new shells in without pointing the gun in an unsafe direction. And show them how to close the cylinder without snapping it closed, Dirty Harry style. Not something you want to do. And be aware of where that gun is aimed. Finger off the trigger while you're doing any kind of loading or unloading. Now, the best thing, of course, is to have snap caps or dummy rounds to practice this with. You can also use empty shells in most cases, just to kind of get an idea. You know, especially with a revolver, empty shells work very good to load, unload, see how all that works. With a semi-automatic, a little tougher. Dummy rounds will help if you're going to load and unload, because most semi-autos won't chamber an empty shell very well. Some will, but not all of them will. But still, teach them the basics. Show them if there's a safety on the weapon, show them where it is. If there's a slide release, show them where it is. If there's a magazine release, show them where it is. Show them how it works. And do this without the confines of being in a range with guns going off around you. Makes it so much easier to sit there in someone's living room and learn this stuff. So then when you get in the range, you already have an idea what you're supposed to do. And of course, whoever's teaching you needs to stress safety the entire time, whether you're in a living room or whether you're in a range. Even in that living room, you're going to say, okay, that's downrange. We're going to keep all weapons pointed in that direction while we're working with them. I've even taken just a frame from a gun to teach people proper grip. Things like that when we were in a place where you couldn't use an entire weapon. But you want to teach grip. You want to teach trigger control. You want to teach sight picture. And all this can be taught without being inside the confines of a range. So learn that kind of stuff first. It makes a huge difference for people learning. Then when they get in the range, they already know what to expect. They already know what has to be done. They know how the weapon works. And you're not going to be trying to teach somebody in the middle of guns going off all over the place. It makes a huge difference. So just take that into account if you're going to teach somebody. And always volunteer to help somebody if you can, because we need as many Second Amendment advocates as we can possibly get. That's something we don't want to have dissipate. We don't want to have go away. Earlier today, we were talking about kids learning in schools how to use shotguns, how to use air rifles, and having classes and having competitions with other schools. That's the kind of thing we need to keep the Second Amendment crowd growing at a reasonable rate. You know, and a lot of kids have some interest in this because of video games. Because of the video games they play, they have some interest in learning how to use real weapons. And hopefully they don't go all, you know, Halo on you or something like that, and, you know, practice anything unsafe while they're using a real weapon. But still, it's best if you can teach kids before they go to school, before they go to a gun class, what to do. So if you can help somebody, by all means, give them a hand. If you don't feel good enough to teach somebody, then don't do it. But the biggest thing is teach them safety first. Teach them basic gun function. Now, not every gun's going to be the same, obviously. There's huge difference between semi-automatics and revolvers, rifles and pistols, things like that. But if you can give them the basic understanding, show them how it picks up a shell off the magazine, loads it into the chamber, ejects the old shell out, picks up a new one off the magazine. So maybe they'll understand when they stop shooting, doesn't mean the gun's empty unless the slide is locked back. And in any case, whether it's locked back or not, you want to set it down with the barrel pointing downrange all the time. There'll be almost no circumstance where you want to have that barrel pointed anywhere but downrange while you're practicing shooting. So teach them properly, whether they're kids, whether they're adults. Anybody interested in learning needs to learn correctly. If you learn correctly, you'll have a lifetime of fun shooting, learning a good sport, learning a good skill, and not have to worry about endangering yourself if you can learn the basic safety rules. Now, usually I just talk about gun stuff here in the United States, but this story popped up, and I decided to go ahead and get this out. But this is about a country, Finland. Finland is now promoting national security by building gun ranges and encouraging citizens to become armed. Now, this is amazing because, you know, a lot of European countries are very anti-gun. Now, Finland is more of a Scandinavian country. They are still kind of in Europe. But individual gun ownership actually serves as a prevention of possible tyranny, prevention of possible, you know, I guess invasion, you could say. I mean, I'm not saying the Finnish people are going to become their own army. They have an army. But you know what? It wouldn't hurt in a country where everything is fairly spread out to have people who know how to use guns. That would be something that you'd want to have. That would be something you want your country, your countrymen to learn. And Finland is encouraging this by building, they want to build up to 300 more gun ranges in the next few years. Because, you know, without gun ranges, you have no place to practice, you have no place to shoot, you have no place to learn these skills. So it says there are about 670 shooting ranges in Finland now, down from almost 2,000. They used to have 2,000 shooting ranges in the country. They're down to 670. They want to get that number by 2030 up to over 1,000. They want to top 1,000 ranges in the next, 6 years? That's not an unreasonable idea. That seems reasonable to me. And you want to have these people learning how to shoot, develop their own shooting skills. Now, I don't know what gun ownership laws are like in Finland. I don't know. It doesn't say that in this article. But the more ranges, the more chances you're going to have to practice, the more chances you'll have for competitions, the more chances you'll have for people teaching other people. Everything will get promoted with more gun ranges. Because gun ranges are probably one of the safest places to learn how to shoot, obviously. Now, granted, a lot of people can just go out, if they own enough land, they can go out and practice their shooting there. And that's usually a little more lax than practicing inside of a range. But the Finnish president, the Finnish government wants these people to learn how to shoot. They want them to complete courses in shooting. They want them to practice skills on a range. And this is something that should be all over the world. Things like this should happen, especially in some of the countries in Europe where they've lost these skills. It's kind of crazy, but you know, a lot of people don't have basic firearms knowledge as they used to, you know, 50 years ago. 50 years ago, people had these skills. And apparently, there's going to be, here's an interesting thing in this article. It says that the armed citizenry serves as reserve force or potential guerrilla fighters in case of an invasion. Seems like they've watched Red Dawn a few too many times, maybe. But also, you got to realize, you know, there are threats in Europe that we don't have here. In Finland, they're much closer to Russia than we are. I'm not saying that they're going to fight against a Russian army, but you know what? If every person or a lot more people are armed in that country and they're learning how to use these weapons better and better, that's going to be discouragement from anybody coming in there and trying to, I guess, force these people to succumb to a foreign government trying to take over it, to avoid being, you know, taken over by tyranny, they don't want to succumb to tyrannical governments, which is fine. I mean, it happened. The same thing happened here in the United States. During World War II, the Japanese general was overheard saying he would never want to invade America on the ground because behind every blade of grass is an American with a gun. So he knew gun ownership in America was high and the skill set in America was high because it is a sport Americans have enjoyed for generations. When you learn your sport, you learn your skill, you become a formidable enemy. And with Japan, they had limited guns in their country so much most of their civilian population had very little experience with that. And that general knew, he goes, you know, almost he thought every single American had a gun or several guns and would hide out and would be impossible for anybody to take over the country because of the resistance they would face in something like that. So I'd like to keep up that theory and make sure that any foreign force that decided they wanted to try and come to America would be met with extreme prejudice and extreme resistance. Now, granted, I'm not saying going up against fighter planes or tanks or anything like that, but you know what? Basic skills has to start somewhere. At least having the skill set and letting countries know it's there is a good way to prevent other countries from looking at us as a weaker target. We want to be known as a stronger target. So I like that idea. So learn how to shoot, fight against tyranny, teach your neighbors how to do it, teach your friends how to do it, get a skill set, teach your kids how to do it. I wish everybody in America who was capable and felt comfortable with it would learn how to shoot at a higher level than they're at now. So if you already know the basics, if you already know some advanced skills, I say go beyond that. Become more advanced, become better, become faster, become more efficient. And if there's any doubt, there's a million YouTube videos. I would recommend sticking with probably some of the more certified or more the established trainers in that respect. Because there's a lot of guys out there who will make training videos, and it's scary how inaccurate and how terrible they are. So try and stick to people who have a recognized reputation for being quality trainers. You know, it's funny because I'm sure everybody's seen at least one John Wick movie, but Keanu Reeves, when he was learning how to do this, he was a little bit awkward, and he said, you know what? I want to learn how to do this better so I don't look like I'm acting. I want to know how to do this. I want to look like I know what's going on. I want to learn this skill for real. So when I'm out there doing a movie, I won't look like some awkward idiot, you know, trying to change a magazine. I want to learn how to do it proficiently. I want to learn how to do it quickly. I want to learn how to do it to where I look like the professional that I'm portraying in the movies. So he ended up going to Taron Butler of Taron Tactical. Now, Taron Butler is a well-established trainer. I don't know if he has videos out there, but he would be somebody to watch. He's fast. He's efficient. He holds titles. I think he's a 15-time national handgun champion. So he has a skill set, and he taught Keanu three gun. And if you can get online, you can find these videos of him shooting shotguns, rifles, pistols, reloads, unloads, reholster, unholster, switching weapons, all this stuff that he wanted to learn so he would look like he knew what he was doing in his movie. Which makes sense. I mean, if you want to do your craft to the best you possibly can, learn how to do what you're doing in real life, then it shows so much better in the movies. Which I have to say, in most of his movies, they take within the realm of movie magic and they make it look realistic. Now, granted, of course, some of the stuff is over the top and beyond what is probably capable, but of course, that's part of the movie. But most of the things that happen, the reloads, the handling of the weapons, is all done skillfully and looks very professional in the way it's done. So that's something you want to look for. Look for somebody who has a reputation. If they've won a lot of competitions, that's something to look for. If they're renowned as a trainer, look for something like that. And up your game. I mean, even if you won your local shooting competition time and time again, try and get to the next level. Go into, you know, say, okay, well, I can do this. How do I do it faster? How do I do it better? How do I learn how to transition from a rifle to a pistol, from a pistol to a shotgun, and retain the weapon? That means you not only have to draw from a holster, but you have to be able to put back into a holster. Because if you're running through courses where you may have to switch back and forth between weapons, that's something you want to learn how to do. And it's fun, too. I'll tell you that. It's fun learning new skills. I've taken classes before with all kinds of crazy training tips. Had one where I actually had to sit down at a table and shoot through an actual car windshield into a dummy target. And you might think, oh, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that angle on that windshield is going to deflect that bullet in a certain direction. And you have to compensate for that, whether you're sitting on the inside or sitting on the outside. The compensation is exactly opposite. Also, depending on what caliber you're shooting, it's going to make a difference as to how much deflection there's going to be, how much variation there's going to be in your shots. I was finding with a 9mm, I was going about 3 to 4 inches off on targets. If I aimed directly at them, I was coming off about 3 to 4 inches, whether I was shooting from inside or out. And you had to compensate differently for both ways. Now, with a 45, the deflection was much less, probably less than an inch. So straight-on targets with the 45 caliber were much more effective, required a lot less adjustment. So that's something to consider, too. You know, up your skill level. And these, a lot of these classes, hopefully, if you find some that are reasonably priced and you learn a new skill set, that's something to hold on to and you'll have forever. That's what you want to do. You want to be able to up your game, keep this skill set, and move on. You know, get better skills. It never hurts to have better skills. Now, here's something interesting. I covered this a couple weeks ago, but I want to go over it one more time. There's a bill in Georgia that's pending from the end of February that says private property owners that ban you from carrying a legally owned weapon on their property will become responsible for your safety while you're on their premises. Think about that for a minute. If you go into a place and something happens and that business has a sign that they don't allow guns on their property and you end up getting hurt or you end up having some injury because you are not allowed to defend yourself, that business is responsible for your injuries, for your damage, whatever hurts you may have. They're responsible for that if they tell you you can't carry your own weapon. They have to be responsible for your safety while you're in there. Now, what I imagine this is going to lead to is a lot of property owners are going to pull down those no gun signs because that's a huge liability to take on. Someone were to come in there and shoot, even if you just have a table tipped over on top of you and get cut by glass, they're responsible for those injuries that you receive if you're not allowed to have your weapon with you. So this is, I think this should be nationwide. This should be something where every business who tells you you cannot defend yourself, they need to take responsibility for your safety and your defense. If they can't or they don't do it well enough, they need to be held responsible. They need to pay damages. They need to pay restitution of some sort. That needs to be done everywhere. Nobody should have to be disarmed in order to go into any kind of business. Now, granted, of course, there are courtrooms and public buildings and stuff where they don't allow that, and I get that. But in a private business, they need to be responsible for your safety if they want to take that on. If they want to take on the responsibility of you not being armed in their particular business, then they need to take on that responsibility. If anything happens, it is up to them to pay damages, pay restitution, pay for any injuries that you may have incurred because of that. So that would be great. I hope this goes nationwide. And I hope, actually, this is just a bill now in Georgia, but I hope it gets passed because this would be great. And I think what it's going to do is all those no gun signs on this property are going to be coming down because all of a sudden those companies are taking on that responsibility. They become liable. And a lot of insurance companies will probably look at this and go, you know what? If you have a sign that says they can't carry their gun there, we're going to double or triple or quadruple your insurance because all of a sudden you're responsible for every single person in that building if anybody were to come in there and anybody who had a permit or had normally carries a gun was not able to because of your sign out front. So I'd really like to see that happen. That would be great. All right. I am Roger B. We've got to wrap this up. I'm Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you've been listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.